We don't know those kinds of things. A lot of times I read the, well, every day I get the newspaper and I read the obituaries in the paper. And you know, a lot of people, they've got things about here when they were born and they died a few days ago and things like that. And a lot of times you read all the way down through there. And there's nothing about God. There's nothing about a church or anything like that. They just like this. They enjoyed this and they enjoyed that. But did they ever take time to get to know God? Did they ever read the Bible? Did they ever read the greatest book that's ever, did they ever do that? Doesn't say anything about it, you see. So they lived and they died and then they're going to be buried. Don't know what happened to them. Don't know what happened to them, you see. The Bible says here in verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. It says, for what is your life? What is your life? And he answers the question in the next phrase. He said, it's even a vapor. Y'all know what a vapor is? That's what the Bible says your life is. It's like a vapor. You might say, somebody asks you the question, what is your life? You might say, well, I'm a carpenter. Well, I'm a truck driver. Well, I'm a housewife. Well, I'm a cook. No, that's what you do for a living. But what is your life? The Bible says here it's like a vapor. You know what a vapor is? You see some steam going up, and then it just goes, it just vanishes away. You see, I got some pictures here of my kids. Pictures here of my kids. I don't always like to look at pictures because here are my kids. There's me and my two boys and my two girls there. They're about like 7, 6, 5. No, they're probably 6, 5, 4, and maybe 1 right there, something like that. Up here, they're like 10, 9, 8, and 6. You see? But you know what? Those pictures, that's a picture of them when they were that age, but they're never the same. They're never the same. They're not like that anymore. And whenever I look at these pictures right here, you see, I don't want to dwell on it. You know why? Because they're not like that anymore. They're not little kids like anymore. They're all grown up. And now I've got grandkids and they're just about grown up, you see. And I wish I could go back and I could do a little bit better. Maybe I could train them up and help them and do a little bit better if I knew what I knew now. But if I didn't know what I knew now, I'd probably make the same stupid mistakes I did then, you see. So I don't always like to go and look. I don't want to dwell there too much, you see. Or my grandkids all the same way. You see, your life, the Bible says, is just like a vapor. You know, you try to grab a vapor when it comes out and you can't grab it. I mean, you know, it's just gone, just like that. That's what your life is like. The Bible says 6,000 years ago, God made the first man, Adam, and then he made Eve. 6,000 years ago, that's 4,000 B.C., 6,000 years ago. Now, if you figure, that's a good word, isn't it? If you figure 365 days a year for 6,000 years, you know how many days you get? 2,190,000 days. That's what you get. Since the day that God made Adam and made Eve. 2,190,000 days. Now, if you had a what do you call those books that you get in school, a yearbook? If you had a yearbook with a page for every day since Adam and Eve, I mean, that'd be a tall book. If you had a yearbook with 2,190,000 pages in it, and you had all the pictures of all the people that's ever lived there, and you just stood there and you just turned the pages just like that. One every second. 1, 2, 3, just like that. And finally, it came to your page. And you say, there I am. But it's gone. Turn the page. Turn the page again. There's my daddy. It's gone. Turn the page. Keep on. There's my mama. It's gone. You see? Turn the page. There's my brothers. It's gone. There's my sisters. Gone. My grandma and grandpa. It's all gone, you see? Can't go back and look. The Bible says that's what your life is like. When we compare it to eternity, man, I'll tell you what, eternity is a long time. It never ends. But our life is just like a vapor, you see? And you look at those pictures, they're gone. They're all different now. They're all different now, see? Bible says, what is your life? says in verse 14, you know not what you should be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor. Can't get it. Can't grab a hold of it. It's just gone before you can grab a hold of it. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time. That's what we all do. We appear on the scene. We appear on life stage. And then poof, it's gone. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It vanishes away, see? He says that's what we don't know about tomorrow. Verse number 15 is this. It says what we ought to say. What we ought to say. Look at verse number 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. This is what we ought to say. If the Lord will. In other words, if God lets us do this or do that, then that's what we'll do. So see, whatever you've been doing, God has allowed you to do it. I was telling the folks in Sunday school this morning, a fellow that I was a friend with, and a few of you folks knew him, John Van Heining. He died Tuesday up in Santa Fe. He's 53 years and 8 days old. He's gone. He vanished about 10 years ago. We didn't know where he went, but he had health problems and things like that. You see, and then there's people. There's people that they're gone. Just here recently, I'm not going to mention any names or anything. You might not know them or anything, but I was telling the folks in Sunday school about somebody that they didn't think life was worth living. They didn't think life was worth living, and so they just snuffed it out. They snuffed it out. They didn't think that life was worth living. You see, maybe life is not worth living without God.
That's right.
Maybe there's so many problems that they can't cope. I guess you'd say they can't cope with them. But the thing that bothers me is this. I had an opportunity one time for about maybe 10 or 15 minutes to talk to this fellow, to a man that snuffed his life out. And it's the thing that bothers me that I didn't talk to him about the Lord. I didn't take time to, because I was busy, you know. That's my excuse. I didn't take time to give him a track. And I didn't take time to say, sir, I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. But I do know this. I know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And he died on the cross for your sins. And he'll give you eternal life. And he'll make life worth living. You see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came not for good people, but he came for sinners. He came for the ungodly. That's who he came for. He came for the ungodly, for people who are not good, for people who are evil and wicked. That's who Jesus came to die for on the cross, you see. And maybe that guy fit in, as we all do, and I know I do, you see. That's where I fit in, the ungodly. Y'all turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Let's look that up. Romans chapter number 4, and let me find the verse for you there. Tell me what it is if you get it. I think it's probably about verse number 3, 4, 5. Romans chapter 4 and all right, verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but look what it says, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, you see. See, you don't work to get saved. To him that worketh not, but believeth, then he justifies the ungodly, and he counts it to you for righteousness. That's the only way you can get in. Somebody else's righteousness, somebody else's goodness is given to you. You see, that's how you get in. That's how you get into heaven. But see, I should have stopped, and I could have said, whatever your name is, I don't know anything about you, but I know this. I know that God loves you enough that he sent his son, Jesus, and he died on the cross and bore your sins in his own body on the tree. And I could have given him a try. I could have at least done that, but I didn't do it. Now the guy's dead, see? And I don't know where he went. See? So that's the way life is. What we ought to say, he said, for that we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or do that. That's what we ought to say. But he said, we say other things. You see, people make big plans. And they say, I'm going to go do this or I'm going to do that. They go to college or something. Let me ask you something. Have you asked God about it? Have you asked God about where, what, and all that kind of stuff? Did you ask God? Say, I'm going to get married. Wonderful. That's a good thing. Have you asked God? You know what? Marriage is supposed to be forever. So make sure you get the right one. Make sure you ask God about that. That person you're hanging around with, that person you're spending time with, is that somebody God wants you? Is that somebody that you're going to want to spend the rest of your life with? Because you don't just get married and then you don't change your mind in a few days. Amen. Marriage is still a good thing. Proverbs 18:22 says this, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You know what? God wouldn't get mad if the Pope got married. As a matter of fact, he ought to get married. Amen. They ought to get married and do what's right. Do what's right, you see. A marriage is a good thing. And so, be careful who you spend time with. King Jehoshaphat, back over in the book of, I think it's 2 Kings and then maybe 2 Chronicles, he made friends with an evil king by the name of Ahab, and listen carefully, his son wound up marrying Ahab's daughter. Ahab and Jezebel. How many of y'all have heard of Jezebel? Ahab, he married the daughter, see? Why? Because of the people that he got entangled with. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or do that. Here's the thing, folks. God might intervene in your life. God might intervene in your life. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And then he became the Apostle Paul. One day on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, God intervened into his life. He was on his way to persecute Christians who believed in Jesus Christ. And God came down and changed his life, and his life was never the same anymore. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, but he never persecuted another Christian after that day when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know why? Because God came down and intervened in his life. Has God ever intervened in your life? Has he ever changed some things? Has he ever changed your heart, you see? It's okay to pray and ask God, please, 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 God, come and intervene in our life. God, don't leave us to our own devices. He won't, you see. God intervened in Paul's life. God have intervened in the world. He sent his son into the world through Mary in Bethlehem of Judea. God intervened when he sent his son into the world. God intervened when he sent his son to the cross, and his son was crucified in Jerusalem and he died there. God intervened in the world when he raised his son from the dead never to die again. And God Almighty is going to intervene. He intervenes all the time, but I'm talking about in a big way. He's going to intervene in the world again. He's going to come. He's going to take us up one of these days. He's going to come and rule over the earth. Rule over the earth for 1,000 years, you see. You see, so things don't always go the way that we planned, you know, because God does things. He intervenes. Would it be okay with you if God came and intervened in your life? Would it be okay with you? Well, God has things for us. Let us say that we don't know what's going to be on the morrow, but we ought to say, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. Amen? Amen. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time. Let's bow our heads, please, for just a moment.